It's Wednesday. It's Wednesday. It's Wednesday. Call 312-981-7200 for Terry Savage. The financial columnist is our Wednesday guest. She'll be here for about the next half hour. 312-981-7200. Call or text with your questions and comments. Hi, Terry. How are you?
Hi. How do I sound?
You
Thank
sound
you,
great.
WGN. Well, yeah, they set me up with this professional radio setup with microphones and connections. Feeling very pro here.
Yes,
I mean, I always
yes.
feel pro about money, but I'm feeling very much like a radio broadcaster.
I love it when you talk technology. Let's talk about jobs to start. Just give me an update on where we are on that.
Oh, this is the weirdest thing. We had a report out that's called the JOLTS report, job openings and labor turnover. And it surprised everyone, all the street anyway, by showing 10.9 million jobs open. They estimated that it would be about 10 million. This is a very high level. Now, that's from July, but still, we just had a report that we have 8.7 million people out of work and looking for jobs. Now, this is very weird, isn't it? We have all these job openings, and we have all these people out of work and part of the labor force and looking. And now we just cut off unemployment benefits for over 10 million people. People who got the extra $300 a month will no longer get that, although until they run out, they'll get the original basic unemployment. But all the people who are self-employed, that PUA, that's gone away. There's people who run out of extended benefits. So it's about 11 million people getting their benefits cut. And I think we're having the greatest economic real-time experiment, because the big question is, will all those people who are no longer getting benefits go, oh my goodness, I've got to take a job, any job, and cut that number of job openings? Or are there other things at play here, like either they don't have the skills for some of these jobs, or these jobs don't pay well enough, and maybe, by the way, business will raise wages, and that would lead to inflation? Or are they worried about their kids, families? I always think of single mothers, but even families with a couple of kids, someone has to stay home because they're not sure about the school situation. There could be a lot of reasons that people don't go back to work, or maybe they can't get a remote job, which they really like. So we're now, in the next 6-8 weeks, going to see what happens to unemployment. And okay, we're talking big numbers, but these are real people.
And does that happen this month, Terry? Does everybody lose their unemployment?
Yeah,
or
they've
unemployment
lost
supplement.
It's over already. It's over. It was September 4th, so all the supplements, the PUA, completely goes away. That's, you know, that was put in as part of the CARES Act. So there's just a lot of disruption in a lot. And then let's just. Let me throw more into this soup. It's now a bouillabaisse of financial mess. First of all, we have, of course, the eviction moratorium was declared illegal, although some cities and states can put in programs that delay evictions. Foreclosures, anybody who's still behind and hasn't gotten into the federal forbearance program, which you can easily do if your house was a Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac mortgage, contact your servicer. You only have another few weeks to set that up, which will keep you from being evicted. But even for many people, that's running out, and they're going to have to suddenly figure out, do we extend these unpaid payments to the end of our mortgage? So that's coming in. And just let me throw two more things in there. The United States government is bumping up against the national debt ceiling. And today, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen warned, we're going to have to either shut down or not pay bills or whatever at the end of October. That comes as Congress is debating not only the $3.5 trillion infrastructure, the $1 trillion this, but part of all of that is debating increases in taxes. So historically, September has been a very volatile month. A lot of declines have started in September, and we have now got this huge stew on both the economic side, the political side, what's going on with Washington taxes and spending, and on the very personal side of people trying to make decisions now. This could be a very volatile month.
Terry Savage has a fancy new radio microphone. You can be part of the show right now. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Call or text with your question or comment. I'm also interested in those people who have lost their unemployment supplement. Are you now motivated to go back to work, or what are you doing? Terry Savage on Wednesdays joined us. Here we are, Wednesday, and Terry's on the phone. By the way, Terry, I did ask people if you are one of those people who've lost your unemployment supplement. So these people, presumably some of them were still beginning unemployment benefits because they're still unemployed, right, Terry? But that extra $300 a month is what they're not getting, right?
Yeah. Well, 3 million people, first of all, many states, not Illinois, but many states mostly with Republican governors earlier this summer said, we're not paying $300 a week extra. So that's already been in the system. But an additional 3 million people across the country now, as of Labor Day, will have lost their extra $300 a week. Another 3.3 million will lose the benefits that were extended after the original 26 weeks of unemployment. Remember, in the olden days, i.e. before 2 years ago, unemployment lasted 26 weeks, period. That's what you got. So through various programs, some state and definitely federal, those benefits were extended beyond 26 weeks. Now, once you've used up 26 weeks, you're out. That's another 3 million besides the 3 million losing the $300 a week. And more than 4 million lose all of the PUA benefit. Remember when it seems like a lifetime ago when they put that in and you're a self-employed and you first had to be turned down for traditional.
Right,
and you had to
show.
You know, and that's where all the fraud was because they didn't have a real good way of checking if you were really unemployed or not. Anyway, there's still over 4 million people getting that PUA. That just dropped off a cliff. No more of that.
Lots of texts about how much people are loving the quality of the microphone you're on.
Okay.
Hey, folks, this isn't a tech show.
This is the most techie I get, believe me.
Hey, John, I've got a math problem for Terry. I have a 15-year mortgage. I have 15 years left before I retire. I have $500 extra a month coming in. Should I use the $500 in my 401k? Should I use the $500 in my 401k, or should I pay down the principal on my mortgage?
Third alternative.
Okay.
A third alternative. You didn't say what your mortgage rate was, and if your mortgage rate is over 3%, you could probably save. I mean, if it's 3.9%, you could probably refinance to a new 15-year mortgage, save that $500 in monthly payments, and keep adding money into your 401k. Now, if let's just say your mortgage rate is 3%, this is a really interesting question. I've always said, want to pay off your mortgage before you retire. That's the last thing you want to worry about is making a mortgage payment. But 3% is a real low rate. And right now, the stock market is really, it's all at all-time highs. It could go higher. There's a lot of money around. And all that growth in your 401k is tax deferred. So it's a tough decision to make, but probably you could save money just by refinancing your mortgage and do the 401k contribution.
This is Chris on WGN. Chris, you've got a question for Terry. You're on the air.
Hi, Terry. Thank you. I have a problem. My 401, I don't have a 401k. I have an IRA, and it was always in CDs after 2008. And $70,000 is sitting there now. I don't know where to put it. They're suggesting I put it in U.S. Treasury. I don't know what to do with it. I have, all total, it's $123,000 in there. And I don't want to lose it.
Okay, that's the most important point. Did you tell me how old you are?
I'm 81 years old, soon to be 82.
Okay. Look, Chris, there's not much difference in what Treasury bills pay today and what CDs pay. But it's an IRA, so if you ever had to break into the CD to take your required minimum withdrawal, for example, you could do that without penalty. I would suggest you take half of it and put it in a CD that lasts maybe a year, and half of it in 6 months, and the rest in a money market. And know that you're not alone. All of us, I'll include myself here, who have what I call chicken money. Some, all, a portion of your money that you really don't want to lose. And sometimes it's because your age or your financial situation. It's not just for older people. If you've got money for kids' college next year, you don't want to be speculating with that. We are not getting paid enough. You can thank the Federal Reserve Chairman, who's keeping interest rates low.
Yeah.
Why is he doing that? To get the economy going, to help people buy houses, to put home builders back to work, to help the government finance its deficit. But we all of us savers, are earning like a 0.5% or so. And inflation we know is running at 4 or 5%. But I think that's going to change. You're sort of a sure loser to inflation now. But I think interest rates will climb if we have inflation, and you'll be happy you've kept it safe.
So I should leave it in a CD for now for 6 months?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. 6 month CD.
Good luck, Chris. Thanks for the phone call. And I'm glad you asked that question. Terry, what's your reaction to this when we talk about the wages maybe have to go up because people don't seem to want to go back to work? 815 said, why not raise wages and cut CEO pay and bonuses? There's your answer. Why should one person make so much and so many make so little? I don't know that that's an investment or financial question, but a lot of people think that Bezos and these people could pay their workers more out of their own paycheck, out of their own pocket.
Leave Bezos aside, because his wealth has grown because of the value of his stock. It's not so much that he takes a huge salary. In fact, he doesn't. But let's go back to the basic principles here. I think business is going to have to pay workers more, but there's very little doubt about that, because otherwise they won't get those jobs filled. And that is very great for the people that get those jobs. They'll get paid a better wage. And one of two things can happen. Let's just say it's a company, not an outstanding one like Amazon, but just a regular company. Now their cost of labor is higher. A couple of things can happen. If it's a small business, you can be sure the boss is going to take less in pay. Or they have to raise prices. If it's a restaurant, it's the price of the meals. If they have to pay more to get wait staff, for example. So yay for the people that get higher paid jobs. What's a business going to do? Leave out the major, you know, the top companies that have CEOs that get paid in stock. And of course, the stock's been going up, and that's why the numbers look so swollen. But even that aside, will this bring on inflation, rising prices? Will then the Fed have to raise interest rates? There's been a huge gap. No, can't ignore that, between what the top paid workers in a corporation get and what the rank and file get. And now the companies can't make profits, can't sell their stuff, can't open their restaurants, etc., can't find help to work in their hotels. Mm-hmm. So if they pay more, it's going to be interesting. If it cuts into profits, that should impact their stock on the downside. Or maybe the top people do take less.
Yeah, but you make it sound as though inflation then is the fault of the people who are making $15 and want $20 an hour.
No, it's just a fact. Well, and sadly, the real sad thing is once you start what used to be called the wage price spiral, workers always wind up on the short end of that stick.
I think, though, at the heart of that question or reasoning is the disparity, that somehow it'd be nice if we could bridge that gap, if the people on the bottom side of the K-curve would have an easier path to the top half of the K-curve.
And they could buy the stuff the company makes. There's no question about that. And we might just get this snapback reaction in corporate America. I hope we do. That a lot of corporations have in the last year, I mean, before COVID even started to, you know, they were fighting the minimum wage increases. And as I recall, McDonald's said, nope, we're raising our minimum wage. Not that they were being so generous, let me say, but the fact is that markets work if you let them work. It just takes a little while. And right now, with the demand for workers, I think wages are going to go up. In fact, we saw it in last month's statistics on the unemployment report. Wages are rising.
Terry Savage is ready to take your calls after the news. She's here for one more segment, 312-981-7200. We've got text, too, about your 401ks. And for people who got overpayments on their taxes, what about them? Terry Savage is on the phone line. Another segment with the guru of finance. You can visit Terry at terrysavage.com.
Quick. Can I jump in for one quick thing? I want to go back. We were talking about wages and why they're so low and CEOs get so much. Watch this. This is, you know, you have to know your facts. And I couldn't remember the numbers when we were talking, but now I'm hands-free with my new headset. So I look back at the August jobs report, the one we just got last week. Wages jumped in leisure and hospitality, where they had net zero job growth in August because nobody was traveling because of COVID, saw wages jump 1.3% for the month and 10.3% for the year. So whether you're a waitress or whether you're a housekeeper or a, whatever it is, you're getting 10.3%, or you should be anyway, or asking for it, more this year than last year. So wages are rising. That's creating inflation fears. And second point, I was listening in the news. There's a shortage of tortillas.
Yeah.
The El Milagro factory company in Chicago. And there was just a little note there. Maybe it's happening because there aren't enough workers, which is how we got into this, unfilled jobs. Oh, if I were a reporter today, I would call that company, and maybe you and Pete Zimmerman can get the CEO on and say, wait a minute, are you not getting enough workers? Have you seen, since unemployment benefits ran out, are people suddenly applying for jobs? Have you raised wages? That's a microcosm. It's a true Chicago story. What's going to happen? Unemployment benefits run out. We've had worker shortages, results in, you know, rationing of tortillas, really, and it's important. What are you going to do about it? What are you seeing, Mr. Milagro Tortilla CEO?
And they're rationing it 20 bags. You can get 20 bags. I don't know what the freshness date is or how long it takes people to go through a bag, but you think if you had 20, you'd be good for a while, but maybe not. I hear those are some pretty good chips. Hey, John, my question for Terry, has the state of Illinois completed processing the $10,200 unemployment refund from last year? I know people who filed electronically before March 15th and still haven't got their refunds.
Yeah, the Revenue Department of the state of Illinois is behind. It's not anywhere near as horrible as the Unemployment Department, but they are still behind. And I, too, have heard questions on my blog. A lot of people, but not everybody's gotten the federal adjustment. You paid taxes and filed before they said you don't have to pay on the first $10,200. Federal government is sending those back. We're getting lots more reports of, oh, you were right, I got my refund. Oh, I got an unexpected amount. What was it? Oh, then I found out it was that tax money I paid on $10,200. I think the federal government's kind of on a roll now, which will generate, of course, a lot of calls saying, but I didn't get mine.
But is the government going to refund that, or does it, that refund just come when you do your taxes?
No, that's a refund. You can expect an odd amount, maybe some interest on it, in a refund from the federal government. And the state government should also be refunding taxes paid on the first $10,200 of unemployment benefits. But they are not
account,
as sophisticated.
Huh? Yeah.
You'll see it.
Ray, you're on WGN with Terry Savage. What can we do for you, Ray?
Yeah, Terry, I just wanted to say thank you. I emailed you about a fraudulent unemployment claim that was put under my name, and I had a really hard time getting them to handle it. I sent all my stuff in like four or five times to IDES, but it finally got handled after I emailed you, and now they emailed me back and said, yes, that was not you that we were sending money to Utah for.
Lord, I wish I could claim to thank you for calling and for thanking me. I wish I could claim to have some influence. I realize that only rarely when I forward these things to IDES does someone get a response. I've never seen anything more mixed up. IDES put out a press release that they're opening some of their offices. None in the Chicago area. That's not true. One in Pilsen, one in Wheeling, most downstate. And they were trumpeting, some offices are open. But when you read down to the bottom of the press release, they said, and here's what these offices will do. Not help you where we've messed up. Not help you get back benefits. Not help you stop us from collecting or asking for money back because we think we overpaid you. None of that. They're going to help you find jobs at the IDES offices, and you can use their computers.
Okay.
Very annoying.
Well, that's, what do you know? Maybe you could work for them and actually help people. Good afternoon, Ms. Savage. What was the name of the person that predicted the Dow would hit 40,100 this year?
That's our good buddy, Dr. Bob Frelick, who's also in a different life, owner of the Kane County Cougars, but has written many investment books and sat on the board of numerous mutual funds and is a well-known global economist with his books translated into, don't ask me how many languages. So every year in January, the Executive Club has an economic forecast luncheon, and Dr. Bob forecast. He said, you'll never forget this number, 401k. I said, what? What's that? 40,100, Terry, by year end. And then we had him on our show here in, when was it, June?
I was actually thinking about this. I think he's going to miss the mark, Terry.
Wait, miss the mark. everybody was going, no, the market's going to crash. The market's going to crash. Hey, the market's just about at all-time highs.
You need 5,000 points.
I mean, that's not the point. It's directionally correct when everybody else was saying, oh, it can't happen. And you know what? It might yet happen.
Yeah. Hey, listen.
With all the money being pumped into the economy, we'll see.
Carrie has a question for Terry Savage. Hi, Terry. You're on the air. Or Carrie,
yeah. Hi, Terry. My parents recently received their property tax bill, as many of us did in Chicago area, and we noticed that they had removed all of his exemptions. And in the reassessment letter, we also noticed that he hadn't received his exemptions last year either. And of course, they're elderly in their 90s, and they probably didn't notice and just thought it was a huge increase in their property tax bill. These exemptions are supposed to be automatically renewable because he is eligible for three of them, the senior, the veterans, and the homestead one. And so we can't get anyone on the phone. We can't get by on the computer.
I'll give you a name. Okay. First of all, I have not heard this. So if we get any more notes about this, but there is one woman, she actually ran for assessor, Andrea Raila, R-A-I-L-A. And if you Google Andrea Raila, R-A-I-L-A, she has an office on Superior Street in Chicago. And she is the one that I always go to find out. And as a result of this call in, I will contact her and see if there's suddenly been a computer programming error. She would be the one that would see the first wave of complaints about this. And she's also an attorney who helps you deal with the county assessor's office.
Okay. And of course, they have to pay their bill by the 15th, and we may not get any resolution before then. Will they be compensated for the extra money they've paid over the last 2 years?
I'll tell you what. I got a better idea. You should, John.
Yep.
You should have Andrea Raila. Now, property tax bills are coming due. You're the first person, nobody's posted on my blog at terrysavage.com. I know we're running out of time about this. But I'm going to give you Andrea's number, and you should have her on. She can answer any question about property taxes, including this very good one, which I can't answer.
And, Carrie, I'm also going to take your number off the air. Pete will work with you off the air after the show, and we'll make sure that we get the information for you that we can find, okay?
Thank you so much.
Stay right there. Okay, well, who knows? Maybe you heard it here first, and we'll hear more of that. I hope not. It's 12:45. Let's hear it for Bill Murdoch and the engineering staff at WGN Radio, who put together a better microphone for Terry. I don't mind you on the phone, but this sounds great, Terry.
Thank you. I love it. I'll be traveling next week, so I can't use it, but I will be forever at my desk with this from now on.
That's Terry Savage. You can read her more at terrysavage.com. Let's go into the WGN Radio newsroom. We've got more business news with Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. Macaroni and cheese and other Kraft Heinz products are going to cost you more. The company has raised prices on about two-thirds of its U.S. products to offset inflation. Supply chain issues have also been impacting products. Executives say the company will act again if costs continue to rise. A new lawsuit claims Conagra Brands is misleading consumers by saying its Duncan Hines Chewy Fudge Brownie Mix has more fudge than it actually does. The lawsuit was filed in federal court in central Illinois, seeks class action status and damages of $5 million. An Illinois consumer wants Conagra to remove and correct the packaging. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
We've got your business of food and Steve Alexander.
Yes, sir. I've got a couple of helpers today for the business of food. People you may have heard of, Bob Dylan and Emmylou Harris. Oh, I do love coffee, and as I was sharing the story last week about Chicago's veteran roasters and the great work they're doing, not only roasting coffee, but training veterans for jobs and getting along in civilian life, I was wondering about caffeine. According to the USDA, the average cup of coffee has a little over 100 milligrams of caffeine, and on average, we drink about 3 cups a day. The latest dietary guidelines say healthy adults can handle as much as 400 milligrams a day. So, doing the math, that leaves about 100 milligrams to the good. But those 3 cups of Joe may not be the only place you're getting caffeine.
If you drink iced tea, lots of sodas, have a lot of caffeine in them. Energy drinks have a lot of even more caffeine in them.
Karen Blakesley is a food scientist and coordinator of the Rapid Response Center for Food Science. She says we are ingesting more caffeine than ever, and it's coming from places we may not think of.
Even decaf coffees and chocolate.
Chocolate? Come on now, how much caffeine can there be in chocolate? If only there were a calculator of some kind.
The International Food Information Council has what they call a caffeine calculator. It's on their website at foodinsight.org.
Foodinsight.org is that calculator for caffeine. Could be a kind of a disappointing exercise. Anyway, from the farm to your belly, speaking of buzz, September's National Honey Month. Also, it's National Whole Grains Month. And at the Chicago Board of Trade, a flat day for corn and beans. There's been a whole bunch of value wiped off the books recently. Most of the summer's gains in corn futures have been wiped out. December corn started out today at 5.10 a bushel, the lowest since April 13th. It's now at 5.11. Soybeans were right behind, dropping to the lowest closing price since late June yesterday to 12.77 a bushel. Right now, 12.78. That's the Business of Food on 720 WGN.
Things are getting better downtown Chicago. More folks are coming into the city for tourism. I presume that's downtown. Jim Meyer is the CFO and interim president and CEO at Choose Chicago. ChooseChicago.com is the website. Hey, Jim, welcome back to WGN. How are you?
I'm great, John. Thanks for having me on today. I truly appreciate it.
Yeah.
You know, we're excited about the happenings in Chicago going on.
Yeah, give me the headline. What's the best number to report today?
Well, you know, I think the best number to report today is the resurgence in hotel demand for June, July, and August. You know, for the 3 months ended August, we're anticipating selling over 2 million hotel rooms downtown. And those hotel rooms translate into $400 million in revenues to our local hotels and $69 million to our local city and state governments. And in addition to that, we're also bringing people back to work. Back in May of 2020, employment in the hospitality industry hit a low of 79,000 jobs. And since then, we've increased our employment by over 45%. And the last 6 months, we've seen employment going up each month. So, you know, we're doing our job and putting heads in beds and helping people get back to work.
Do you have ways of tracking how many human beings then this represents? How many folks have come downtown?
We have ways of tracking it. We use different companies to help us track that. But right now, we're also using Uber Media, who uses geolocating on people's cell phones to help us track where people are going in the city. You know, Chicago has 77 different diverse neighborhoods, all of which have significant cultural assets that we can promote as an entity for promoting Chicago. And we use Uber Media to help us track how people are visiting within those neighborhoods.
Yeah, I think this is fascinating. What I know about that is they are able to calculate the pings on phones to determine how many people are there, presumably how many people are visiting there, as opposed to the number of people that live there. Anyway, some of the neighborhoods are actually at pre-pandemic levels. Hyde Park, Lakeview, a lot of folks are back, right?
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of increased traffic in those neighborhoods. Hyde Park and Lakeview are right there. West Loop is coming back. They're at almost 74% of pre-pandemic levels. So people are coming out. There's a pent-up demand for travel. So and we're seeing the results of that in our results for the summer so far.
I'm happy for your optimism in the numbers, but how far do you have to go? How far are you off where you would have been, Jim?
Well, if we look at our hotel numbers, you know, that's one of the things that we use is driving people to stay in Chicago. We're at about 60% of where we were in 2019 for the 3 months of the summer.
You have any idea how that compares to other cities? Are we doing well?
I think we're doing comparably. I don't have the numbers right here in front of me, John.
But Chicago at least is trending up, or has the Delta variant skewed the numbers down a little bit?
I think We're optimistic, cautiously optimistic for the next 3 months and the next year. COVID obviously is a concern, and what we've been doing at, you know, the cultural attractions, our partners, the hotels and restaurants in the city have worked very closely with county health and the federal health to implement safety guidelines to ensure the safety and health of our visitors.
I like this number. The inventory of rooms in the cities returned to 98% of previous peak. And I think you're at, 60% of what you were 2 years ago? So That trend seems to be pretty positive. Lord knows it was about zero at one point.
It was very bad last year and close to zero. And getting back to 60%, we're close to 60% for the summer. That is a very positive sign. And we're seeing occupancy leveling off now with school starting up again. So demand has leveled off a little bit from our peak of Lollapalooza weekend,
which was
a testament to the city, too, for their health and safety procedures they put in place.
Yeah, I know a lot of people are very excited about what that did for the city. Jim Meyer is the CFO at Choose Chicago, choosechicago.com. Jim, let's connect again soon. Keep doing what you're doing.
John, I truly appreciate you having us on and the support you offer to our partners. And can I say one more thing
on a
personal note?
Yeah.
I loved your segment on the bright side. I used to listen to that, and it would always make me feel happy and upbeat on the way home. So thank you for that, and I appreciate it.
Even on the darkest days, people called in and said, well, I've still got this to smile about. I think it helps, don't you?
Yeah. Oh, no, I truly do. I'd be driving home, and I could have had a bad day, and that always made me smile and lifted my spirits. So thank you.
Nice of you to say that. Jim Meyer, CFO of Choose Chicago. It's a feature we do Fridays around 11:40. We call it The Bright Side. The news is next.